This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 418. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Blue Beetles return. Harley meets Harley, and it's a bombshell. Hard traveling drunks, battle of the bands in Riverdale, and demonic lobbyists. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, August 28th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Blue Beetle Rebirth, number one, by Giffen, Collins, and Fajardo Jr. Ted and Jaime return to the DCU with Giffen at the wheel.
Ooh, yay!
The concept lines up with the earlier Jaime Reyes series. He's a teen in El Paso that finds an alien scarab which bonds to his spine, and he can call up blue armor and weaponry that wants to go lethal a lot, and he has to balance superhero life and normal teen life.
But it doesn't seem like here that they've actually discovered that it's the alien scarab and know about the race and everything, right?
Right. They just assume it's alien.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ted Kord has been blended in, acting as his advisor, and he apparently was Blue Beetle before. I just kind of wish he looked older.
Yeah, it doesn't really explain how he could have been Blue Beetle at that point.
He was apparently Blue Beetle in his early 20s.
For like 6 months.
Exactly. Well, that's, yeah. So Jaime just wants to be rid of the thing, but Ted wants him to be the hero.
Well, because probably Ted misses it.
Right. The big twist is that Dr. Fate drops by to tell Ted the scarab is not alien. It's apparently magical.
Yes.
So that takes things in a very different direction because they tied the alien concept in with the bleed and the idea that it was this other universe where this technology was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, okay, that all goes away. Because that was all kind of Wildstorm influence.
Yes.
So now it's some sort of magical thing.
And that will be really interesting. I would like to see where they take this. So we're going to get this comic.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And that really goes back to the original concept of Blue Beetle, which was much more magical than xenobiological or whatever.
Yes.
Giffen's dialogue is great. The artwork is serviceable. It's all right. But absolutely, we were picking up this series. Harley's Little Black Book, number 4, by Connor, Palmiotti, Tucci, Linsner, and Mounts. Harley's bi-monthly, kinda, team-up book. This issue, she teams up with herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the Harley in the DC Bombshells title. How is this happening? Well, she got some balls from Superman.
Well, what? I think you have to say she got some of Superman's balls.
Well, I was trying to avoid that. He grabbed his balls, apparently. One of which allows time travel. Now, did we miss a story? No, because it's time travel. We'll see that next issue of this series.
Yeah, that sort of seemed odd, but okay.
Her friends think she's nuts as always, but they clear out when she's about to try it, because they figure it's going to be a huge explosion or something terrible.
Yes.
She falls into this covert mission with the bombshells from that other title. They think she's their Harley, who's actually on a separate mission. They act as hostesses at a Nazi shindig to retrieve a U.S. Army general. Harley wanders off and gets hit by a car with the bombshell Harley aboard. Our Harley is tied up because they assume she's a spy. Bombshell Harley is acting as a Nazi interrogator, giving fake info to the bad guys. Our Harley has a dream sequence with a vampire Joker because they're in Transylvania. The plans fall apart They have to storm the castle. Our Harley gets free and winds up in another car with Hitler. She runs them off a cliff. Adolf can't handle her insanity and blows his brains out. Harley doesn't get to see how this alternative timeline turns out as she's whisked back to Coney Island. Just a very goofy story, and it seems like every hero now has to get a chance to take out Hitler sometime.
Yes, but obviously Superman's balls were not time-traveling balls.
Right.
They were alternate timeline balls.
Yes.
Harley really liked saying balls.
Yes. Six-Pack and Dog Welder, Hard-Traveling Heroes number 1 by Ennis, Braun, and Kaliz. Another Section 8 miniseries from Garth Ennis. Dog Welder's ex-wife has moved on with a new older husband who lavished gifts on her kids, but no dogs, please. Don't even mention dogs, because she's still in therapy over that. Back at the bar, Six-Pack is reading the classic Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Hard-Traveling Heroes trade, and decides they need to do the same thing. They need to get to the street-level crime. His crony says he's just feeling inadequate and mentions events like Sandman the Buenomancer, secret bars, and retardants. Beator and Guts are hanging out at Ladies' Night with Power Girl, Catwoman, and Starfire. The latter grins incessantly while giving terrible premonitions. Mm-hmm. A green vortex in the sky appears. The heroines just give it a pass. Kosti shows up and gives Dog Welder some perspective. The vortex turns into the specter and says, "I have come for the sinner." And Six-Pack just assumed that he means him. So just another bizarre Garth Ennis thing that just goes all over the place.
And you really like this.
I do enjoy this.
Yeah.
Archie number 11 from Archie Comics by Wade, Patelli, and Jampole. Veronica, now hated by the town and by association Archie.
Well, at least by half the town. Right. The other half is happy that she got rid of the teacher.
Decides to enter the talent contest to win them back, taking over Archie's band in the process. Betty hears about this and creates a second band. And most of the story are these back-and-forth single-page stories about the band, almost kind of like daily strips or something, because everyone has its own pages, its own title and all this. Ronnie sings great if she's looking at Archie. Otherwise, she sings terribly. Betty doesn't notice hot guitarist Saeed in their band. But in the end, we don't learn who wins the battle, but Archie and Betty are reunited as friends, making Veronica and Saeed furious.
Well, because it looks like they're not reunited as friends.
Yeah. And now all of this is an homage to the 60s Archie cartoon that had actual hit music that came out of it, because they got together these studio musicians as the Archies. It was actually Don Kirshner's concept. There used to be a show called Don Kirshner's Rock Concert in the 70s. And I remember getting that record of Sugar Sugar, which topped the charts in 1969, actually did. It was number one at one point in 1969. Mm-hmm. Remember getting that record on the back of a cereal box.
Yes. They used to do that a lot. And you could just cut them out and then play them on your little close and play or regular record player.
Right. And they were like cardboard records with grooves cut in to like a vinyl thing that they kind of put on top of the cardboard.
They should do that again. Vinyl's making a comeback, you know.
They really should. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 30 from Dark Horse by Gage, Isaac, Jackson, and Starkings. This is the finale to the 10th season, concept being that these are additional seasons of the original TV series. Mm-hmm. Xander has just been turned into a pile of dust by the big bad.
Now, I was just reading an article that was saying, how come nobody created a stink about Xander getting killed when the last issue came out? And of course, this is why.
Yeah. And this is all because Buffy couldn't handle the responsibility of rewriting the Book of Magic. She wants revenge, and the vengeance demon gives it to her, giving her the power to defeat the big bad. The fake Anya retrieves Xander, because she just made him a ghost temporarily. Not dead.
Of course, we expected that.
Right. She then sacrifices herself for the Scooby Gang. The big bad retreats to a Hell Dimension medical center. I thought this was hilarious, because it's just like the urgent care in hell.
Yes.
So you have these demonic people just walking around in scrubs and...
Fix me up, please, says the demon.
Right. But Buffy rewrites the book to allow...
Dawn to open a gate.
Right.
So they could follow them there.
So they could follow him. The big bad offers them their fondest desires to spare him. No dice. Buffy chops his head off. And then she creates a new council to manage the book, who meet in a local motel conference room. Mm-hmm. I love that. With various humans and demons attending. Giles acts as the vice president under Buffy. Wolfram and Hart sends in this lobbyist. So it kind of becomes a whole political parody at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how this all goes in season 11, which will be out starting in November.
Yes. There is just an article online about somebody saying, oh, they should bring back Buffy for the new generation. It's like, well, in a way, Buffy is still here.
That's right. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I'm going to predict you won't get this one.
Ooh, wow. Okay. TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
A man?
No.
Woman?
Yes.
Okay, it's a woman. Is this promoting a new film she has?
Yes.
Okay, and it's a movie. Well, let's see. Is it genre related?
No.
Okay, is it drama?
Yes.
Okay, it's a drama. Is the actress? Is it an actress?
Yes.
On the cover. Is she over 40?
No.
Over 30?
Yes.
Okay, in her 30s, and is she known for drama?
I would say, for the most part, yes.
And she's primarily known for movies?
Yes.
Okay, and she's in her 30s. Okay. And is it a big movie that's coming out?
Well, I wouldn't say it's huge.
It's not intended to be a blockbuster.
No.
It's just okay. Is it like, has she won Oscars?
I don't think so.
All right.
I'm pretty sure she has not.
And is she the star of the movie?
Yes.
Okay. Is it period based?
No.
Oh, it's in modern day.
Yes.
And it's a drama.
Yes. It's based on a book I read for book club.
Oh wow. Is she primarily blonde?
Yes.
Okay. In her 30s. And she's primarily known for drama. I know, I'm running out of
things. She is a name you'd recognize.
Oh, I'm sure she
is. Can you start guessing blonde actresses?
Well, I'm thinking of, but I keep thinking of older ones.
She has a common first name among actresses.
Well,
that's it. See, I told you.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The movie is The Girl on a Train. Does that help you out?
I've seen the promo, but I don't remember who's in it.
Emily Blunt.
Ah. Okay. Well, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.